Have you ever heard of men gaining sympathy weight when their wives are pregnant? Yeah, I did that. 13 years ago when we were preparing to welcome our firstborn, I think I gained about as much weight as Heather did. And that's saying something because I'll be in trouble for that later. And I told her I didn't want her to feel alone. I didn't want her to be. So when she ate ice cream, I ate ice cream. Now, I didn't add the pickles to it, but I ate when she ate. And in the process, across those 9 months, I started to pack on the pounds. Here's the problem with sympathy weight. 9 months into the process, I didn't have any event that helped me to shed those pounds. So they just hung on and on and on and on. And I was still holding on to those pounds when one of my best friends and I went to this pastor's conference up at Ginghamsburg, Ohio. And it was a great conference. There was one session in particular that I remember very distinctly. The pastor there, Mike Slaughter, led that session. It was called Momentum for Life. And Mike is an older, and at that time, standing in front of us, he was obviously a very fit, svelte pastor. He was in good shape. But he told us a story of a time when he almost died. He said when he was 40-something years old, he was overweight, he was out of shape, he had all sorts of health problems. And one night, he was out to dinner with some friends, and he just fell over. He had a heart attack. Now, thankfully, he survived, but he told us that was his wake-up call. That was the moment that his life changed. And he heeded the warning. He not only doubled down, lost 50 pounds, started exercising, and got in the shape of his life, but he also warned us to do the same. And it was inspiring. And we walked out of that day, and I was inspired. We got in the car to head back to the hotel. And along the way, I turned to my friend Will, one of my best friends, and I said, you know, he spoke truth today, and I know what I need to do. I know I need to get serious. I know I need to start exercising. I know I have to drop this weight that I've gained. And Will turned to me, and he said, well, then do it. I'm tired of hearing you talk about it. If you're going to do it, then do it. You ever heard people talk about seeing red? Pretty sure I saw red for a second. Now, I didn't say anything, but I tell you, that night in the hotel room, I did about 200 sit-ups. My abs were so sore the next day, I couldn't breathe without hurting. And of course, I didn't lose all that weight at one time, and it took me a little while, but that was the moment. That was my turning point, and I got back in shape, all because one of my best friends loved me enough to provoke me. I thought about that this week as I reflected on our scripture passage from Hebrews. So this is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. It's time to get our spurs on. Can you do that for me? It's time to get our spurs on. So we only read three verses of scripture this morning because I really want us to focus in on those three verses. But let me give you a little bit of context for what happens in Hebrews chapter 10. The thread that holds the whole chapter together is this call from the author of Hebrews to the Christians to whom he's writing, this call to persevere. He reminds them in this chapter, look, God has already delivered you through suffering and trials and persecution and hardship, and God's going to continue to do that. So what I want you to do, Hebrew Christians, is to keep at it, keep the faith, stay strong, persevere, just hang on. Now, I can just imagine the recipients of this letter hearing those words and saying, okay, well, how do we do that? How do we persevere in the midst of all of the hardships and all the things that are going on in our lives in this persecution by the Roman government? How do we hold on? And I think that at least part of the answer we can find in verses 24 and 25. This is verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You want to know how you stand firm? You want to know how you persevere in the faith and you stay strong? Well, listen to this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I was curious about that little word spur. And I wondered what Greek word must have been translated to get this word spur. And so I looked it up, and it's a word paroxysmos. Now, I know you knew that already, right? But here's what that word means. The root of it means to incite or to irritate. So it has a little bit of a negative connotation, but it's to incite or to irritate. Let us consider, the author of Hebrews says, how to incite one another to love and good deeds. The NRSV translates it like this. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. So the author of Hebrews is saying, look, hold on to your faith. Stay strong. Don't let anything cause you to fall away. Persevere no matter what happens to you. Oh, and in order to do that, then let's figure out how to provoke one another. Let's figure out how to incite each other. Let's figure out how to spur one another on in this journey of faith. Spur one another on to love God, and love our neighbors, and to good deeds. If anything will keep you on the path, if anything will keep you going in the right direction and help you to weather the storms of life, if anything is going to carry you through times of doubt and despair, then it's going to be the gift of each other inciting, provoking, and spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Now, I'm no cowboy, but I know what spurs are. And spurs work for cowboys on horses because they provoke the horse. You know, they dig in a little bit. They create a little excitement. Spurs offer correction. They keep the horse on the right path. And the author of Hebrews is saying the same thing is true for us. We've got to consider how we spur one another on, how we help to keep each other straight and going in the right direction and on the right path, the path of faith. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And then he goes on to say in verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, remember, at this point in history, there are no big church buildings. There aren't any church buildings at all. There aren't any grand cathedrals. And when Christians gather together, they usually aren't in massive crowds. They gather together for worship in homes. They get together in circles. And they eat together. They read scripture together. They sing together. Faith in God was inseparable for them from relationships with each other. And that's key because God has created us for relationship. God created us for relationship with Him, and He created us for relationship with each other. That's why in Genesis, when we read the creation story, it says that God created man, Adam, and then He said, it is not good for man to be alone. So He created Eve. For companionship, for community, for relationship, because it's not good for us to be alone. We're created for relationship. We need each other. And that's why we constantly say around here that growth happens in groups, because we need each other for encouragement, for support, for prayer, to spur each other on. So let us consider how we're going to provoke one another in sight. For over a year now, I've been a part of a men's life group. And like the early Christians before us, we meet together, we eat together, we laugh together, we pick on each other. And we also study together. We read Scripture. And we pray with and for each other. We share life together. That's why we call it a life group. And these are guys of all different ages and life stages, guys who are from different backgrounds. But we all have at least one thing in common, and that is we want to grow deeper in our faith. We want our faith and our relationship with God to move forward. And so we share everything. We share life. We share burdens. We share prayer concerns. And a few months ago, I shared with them that one of my family members is addicted to drugs. Now, he struggled with addiction for a decade or more, but in the last couple of years, it's gotten a lot worse. He can't keep a job. He's been arrested a handful of times. He's been in and out of rehab, and I love him, but I also want to choke him sometimes too. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you have family members struggling. Now, I've asked my life group to pray for him and pray for our family. And they all know his name. They all know his story. And they do pray. And every once in a while, I'll get a text message or I'll get a phone call. Hey, how's your family member doing? Well, a few weeks ago at group, we were sharing prayer concerns and someone asked me about this family member. And at the time, he had been arrested for the second time in like 6 weeks. And I was fed up. And in my exasperation, I said, the boy never learns. I don't know what it's going to take to get his attention. I don't know what it's going to take to turn him around. I guess he's just going to have to hit rock bottom. And then one of my brothers in that group spoke up. And he gently said, be careful with that. He said, I know that whole rock bottom thing, I know that's an old saying from AA. But anymore, the kind of drugs that people are addicted to, rock bottom is in the grave. And he said, I believe that there is help and hope for your family member before he hits rock bottom. And it stopped me in my tracks. Partly because this brother, I know his story. And I know that he has a family member who's struggled greatly with addiction. So he's been there and done that. And it also stopped me in my tracks because I know that he said what he said because he cared. Because he loves me. And by extension, he loves the people I love. So after we finished group that day, he came up to me and he said, I want to share with you some resources. I want to share with you a place. A group of people I think can help. And so he put me in contact with Favor of Greenville. And I was able to get an addiction coach for my family member. And I was able to get some of our family members in family groups for those with family members struggling. So I don't know how the story's going to end, but I do know that we got him access because of this brother who cared enough to spur me on to love one of my family members whose neck I really just wanted to wring. But because of this brother and group, we got him access to the resources he needs to turn things around. We need each other. Hebrews says it plainly. We can't give up meeting together because we need each other. It's great that we come together every Sunday and we have worship, and worship is the heartbeat of the church. And it's great that we gather all together in three different services to hear Scripture read and to hear about who we are and whose we are and be reminded of who God is and what God's doing in our lives. That's important. It's important that we sing our faith. All of that's important, but that's not the end of the faith journey. We need to meet together. In smaller groups where somebody can look you in the eye and know your name and know your story and know what's going on in your life, we need each other to share life together because faith and life are too difficult to go alone. We need deeper relationships than we can have with hundreds of people. We need the kind of relationships that you can only have with a handful of people so that we can provoke one another incite each other, spur one another on to deeper faith, to love God, to love each other, and to good deeds. So let us consider how we can do that. So I think it's time. I think it's time we got our spurs on. If you aren't in a life group, a group that does faith and life together, a group that encourages each other and prays for and prays with and lifts up, if you're not in a group that reads Scripture together, then I hope that today you will remedy that situation. We have opportunities for you this morning. But of course, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to tell you this stuff. I'm supposed to encourage you to be a part of a group, right? That's kind of my job. So if you don't believe me about how important groups are and relationships can be, then I want you to meet one of our members. If you don't already know her, this is Jenny Knight.
My name is Jenny Knight, and I'm a part of the Young Professionals Small Group, and I've been a part of that group for about 3 years now. I wouldn't trade being a part of my small group for anything. It's been such a great experience from the very beginning. I'll never forget that one of the first times, or the first time, I came to Advent. Laura Allen walked down the aisle and saw that I was a young-looking person and said, "We're starting a young adult small group. You should join." I came a couple weeks later, and I've been a part ever since. And my very best friends now are all members of my small group. It's been such a great thing for me to have that community and that support. I moved down here from pretty far away and didn't know anyone. So just having a group of Christians that have also become my friends, not only just my small group members, has meant a lot to me. I think it's so important to have a small group of people in such a big church that have your back, they're looking out for you, they're spending time with you, they're doing life together with you. We'll do plenty of stuff. We have a little group text message and we'll say, "Hey, I'm going to go to dinner, come join me," or "I'm going to go to the park to walk my dog." Everyone, you know, come out and enjoy the sunshine. All sorts of stuff. We'll have cookouts, we've gone to football games, we'll watch the Olympics together, and it's just great to have that, your group of best friends being folks who have the same interests as you. And what's important to you is important to them, and it's great to be able to fellowship outside of church, outside of just small group and studying together. You know, if someone doesn't know a lot about the Bible, well, join the club. You know, no one's going to judge you. That's not going to be the case. We've done a bunch of different studies, you know, from studying a specific book of the Bible to studying just a Christian book. And it's been great to learn more. I've learned so much about my beliefs and more about God, more about the Word through small group. It's been so interesting in our discussions of our books of the Bible, to hear different people's perspectives. And that's helped me grow in my faith and certainly, you know, maybe challenge some beliefs that I had or affirm beliefs that I had. And that's really been a great thing about small group, is seeing that variety and not just automatically accepting something. We'll challenge it, we'll question it, we'll talk about it. And it's great to have that discussion. There was a time actually earlier this year where it just seemed every week one member of small group had something really bad happen, whether it was an illness or a breakup or just something really bad at work. And it was so great to be able to have that support. We could count on everyone to be there with, you know, a pint of ice cream or a hug, or, you know, just hanging out, talking about it, not talking about it. So nice to be able to know that when, you know, something does go wrong, I have such a strong support at my church with my small group, that they're going to be there for me. You know, we're all busy. Everyone has lots of stuff going on, but I think we're too busy not to have a small group. I mean, it's one of those things that you've got lots of going on with work. You've got lots going on with, you know, maybe your family or other things in your life, but small group keeps you on track as far as your faith. You've got folks holding you accountable, keeping you right there, you know, in the Bible and the Word of God every week. Being a small group is just something that, it, for me, isn't an option. It's absolutely so important to me.
I think Jenny hit about every reason that we give about why we can't be a part of a small group. I don't know enough about the Bible, or I'm too busy, schedule's too tight, going in too many different directions. But she said, I think we're too busy not to be in group, too busy not to have each other to support and encourage and to consider how we might spur one another on. The other thing I noticed about her story is that she joined this group because of an invitation, a personal invitation. So today, you know, not every sermon has a very practical application. Sometimes you hear a sermon, you might think, well, that's fine, but what am I supposed to do with that? Well, that's not going to be true today. So So there's a very practical application. In the room to my left and your right, there are people and there is information about groups that we have. We're starting 5 brand new groups. So if it intimidates you to walk into a group that's already existing, then we got 5 new ones. And you can walk in and everybody's on the same page. Everybody's on the same level, starting from scratch. And so you can choose one of those 5 groups, or you can choose another one that's already existing, a Sunday school class or a group that meets some other time during the week in different places. But very practical. If you're not in a group, then I hope you'll take that next step to get in a group. And if you're already in a group, then I hope you'll learn from Jenny's story that the best thing we can do for others is to invite them to be a part of our group. Sometimes people will answer an invitation to group way before they would answer an invitation to worship. If you can't find a group this morning, if you don't see one that seems to fit, then talk to Mark Jordan, talk to Pastor Lauren, talk to me. We will help you find a group. But I'm telling you, we need each other. So let us consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds, because growth happens in groups. Amen.